Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know, sometimes I wonder about the NFL and its viewership when I look forward into the future if we continue to see bad football that's standalone. Now, I don't think it's ever going to take a major, major hit. I don't think we're going to see it go the way of baseball. But I mean, if you talk to anybody this weekend, everybody was just so upset with the lack of competitiveness for the first four games of Wild Card Weekend. Now, last year was the same thing, too. Now, Divisional Playoff Weekend is supposed to be the best, should be the best, and then Championship Sunday is always awesome. You know, the Super Bowl can either be great or a total dud. We know this. But I just feel like this year, the play was the worst I have seen since I've started watching football.
You know, one third of the league had five wins or less.
Yeah.
So when you think about that and you put it in that context, you realize that there was a lot of bad football. That's why when the NFL puts out a lot of its own propaganda about the amount of one score games and closeness and competitive balance and things of that nature, do you really think the Giants, the Titans, the Browns, the Raiders, the Patriots, maybe the Patriots next year, who knows? The Jaguars, maybe them next year. Saints, Panthers, Jets. Do you think that they are going to get that much better? And even, you know, every year you also hear the same propaganda that there's always somebody that goes from last place to first place within their division.
Yeah, I mean, the Commanders were that team. And I'm not even really talking about that stuff because you could spin that no matter what. Just from an eye test standpoint, I love the NFL. It's my favorite sport. It's my favorite league. I'll watch it no matter what. I'm involved in fantasy and FanDuel Sportsbook and all of these things. So you could still, I mean, that's what's going to keep the NFL alive more than anything is the fact that you have a prop bet and the game is what it is. Like, let's say you got Josh Jacobs to score a touchdown in that Green Bay-Philadelphia game. I mean, you're not even caring how bad the game is. He goes for that big run, and then he gets down at the one-inch line. They give it to him again, and then he gets in, and it's like, all right, now you win your bet, and you're excited, even though the game sucks. But it just it has felt like I have watched, and maybe it's skewed because we got the Jets and Giants here as well that are also awful. But I just the level of play now that it's spilled into the playoffs being as poor as it is, you know, and the only way I could put my finger on it or have some sort of explanation is there's an extra game. Nobody practices in the preseason. Everybody's playing on Thursday nights and they hate it. And then a bunch of teams are going overseas and having to deal with that.
Yes.
All those things, I think, you put all the ingredients and you have this recipe for crappier football.
Yeah, but the problem is that the people in the NFL that are trying to extract as much money because they want to grow the pie, that's the idea, is to make money.
I get it.
They know that they have the most popular product. They know that, you know, there are international cities that want to pay for these games. The owners are always pressing the button, you know, on Park Avenue's offices, like, what are we doing here? How much more money, you know, where are we going with this? So that's why I think eventually they're going to get to 18 games. I would think eventually they're going to move the Super Bowl to President's Weekend, and I would imagine two buys, and I would imagine another TV partner coming in, and that TV partner being Netflix. Netflix had so much success with their two games on Christmas. You know, they're going to want more, and they're going to want it. You know, and this is what separates all these different services, whether it be the broadcast networks or whether it be the streaming services, from what everybody else is doing, because they have the most popular sport. You saw the ratings and the amount of viewers that Netflix had on Christmas.
Sure.
It was insane.
Yeah. I mean, and you have to, you have to believe them with what those numbers are. I mean, they also threw out those crazy numbers with the Paul Tyson fight, which I didn't really believe.
Yeah, but they know those numbers. They're accurate. They're not estimates.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just...
I'll tell you who... If I were running Nielsen Ratings Company...
Yeah.
And with all these streaming services, now it's all built in. They're not needed. I don't think they're needed for the streaming services. They're still needed for the broadcast networks. But if everybody is eventually going to end up going the streaming route, then what do they do?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a while, you know, a few more years. But, yeah, they're going to be deemed obsolete at some point, I would think.
It feels like it's going that way. But I'm sure that they're still fighting tooth and nail to make sure that they stay relevant in the business model, with the business model that they have.
I mean, it's an impossible question to answer, but just your opinion on, like, if you took away the ability to gamble on NFL games, what percentage of viewership would be lost from the broadcast
standpoint? Well, let's just face it. Gambling, legalized gambling, has been only, what, 5 years old now? 6 years old?
Yeah, but I mean,
about that? Right. So even before the gambling, everybody knew that people were gambling on the games.
Of course, yeah.
Everybody knew it anyway, so that would probably still continue. I just think that the fantasy aspect to it, the gambling aspect to it, you know, the explosion and the personalities that are playing and how those personalities are put forward now, like from the Kelce brothers to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, everybody's doing something. The Mannings, Tom Brady. Think about it. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is, but it's also been kind of a crap product for most of the year.
Yeah, but you got the NFL Network, you got CBS, you got Fox, you got NBC, you got ESPN, you got Prime Video, you got Netflix now. I mean, like, you guys.
Everybody wants a piece of it, I understand, but I mean, it doesn't, and it's going to continue that way, but it really doesn't hide the fact that this is just, there's been some really, really not entertaining games. And it also feels like a chore to watch some of these games, which I never felt like that before. I really didn't. It was always, you know, the best, you know, and maybe we'll get a divisional playoff weekend where everything's great. But then you also have a couple of potential mismatches on paper again.
And that could be why the NFL is considering changing the format for the playoffs and doing it based on your record as opposed to winning your division. Would you think that would make it better?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, you did it. You had one team, so like every home team won, and each one of those, right? There was only one team, so like the Commanders had a better record than the Bucs, and they went in and beat them. But there was no other situation like that where the home team had a worse record. It'll happen tonight.
What was the Chargers versus the Texans?
Oh yeah, was that? Yeah, that was another. Yeah,
but I think there were three. I think there were three games where the road team had the better record.
So the Vikings and the Rams, and now that's a neutral location, yes. So you can't even really count that.
But I'm just saying that would have counted had they played the game in L.A.
Right.
So three games had where the visiting team had the better record.
Yeah, the Texans 10-7, and the Chargers were 10-7 too, right? Chargers didn't have 11 wins, did they?
I thought they did.
Did they have 11 wins?
Yeah,
they did, 11-6. All right, yeah, so they did. All right, but then, you know, the Texans with the home field there ended up winning. Yeah, I don't know if it would make it better. I don't know. I mean, that game was just brutal.
You know how the Lions and the Cowboys always have a Thanksgiving game?
Yeah.
Like the Texans always have that Saturday first game
every year.
The playoffs every year.
Yep.
Let's go to Mike in North Caldwell. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, Boomer, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to call in because I heard the question about measurement and measuring ratings on the TV glass.
Okay.
And a company like Nielsen actually matters when you think about who is watching behind the TV screen. First party data from the streamers, they're very important, but it's important to know which people are behind the screen, whether it's you, whether it's your family, whether it's your kids, all that stuff. And that's where Nielsen comes into play.
Right. So do you think that Nielsen goes by the wayside, though, when everything ends up going to streaming, you know, eventually?
I actually think it's even more important to be able to understand the people. That's who the advertisers want to know. That's who they're trying to reach with their brands.
Right.
And to be able to know who the demographics are, whether it's a 55-year-old male or a 25-year-old female, that's where those metered panels come in from.
So you couldn't figure that out through the streaming and the numbers and who's watching? You couldn't do that way?
Not in a direct measurement where you actually know who's behind the screen. You may get information from the actual user. Like, you may know what user is logged into the TV glass, but you don't know who they're watching with. You think about the Super Bowl. that's made for out-of-home viewing, right? How are you going to get first-party streaming from in-home when viewers are watching out-of-home?
Sound like you work for Nielsen.
It's important to me, measurement, Greg. And I mentioned that when I called in.
Are you in advertising?
I'm in market research.
There you go.
Yeah, because you sound like you know what you're talking about. Yeah. And it just sounded like he was... Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's also important to, like, Nielsen is an independent place. Netflix telling me 65 million people watch something doesn't mean anything to me because I have no idea. It's like when people tell me their podcast is this or that. Unless I can see the numbers ourselves, you know, an independent party, doesn't mean anything. But Netflix is not going to say no one watched the Christmas game. They're going to say 65 million people watched it.
It's true. I mean, that's what I brought up before. But you think that they're absolutely telling the truth. But, I mean, I don't know. I've also seen... By the way, did you see Rogan respond to Kylie Kelsey?
That's a fan account.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Damn it, I got duped.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Easy to get duped on that one.
I got duped! I got all excited about
it. You and Caleb Williams got duped this weekend.
I got duped! He was like, who is this? With quote tweeted Kylie Kelsey. I got all excited. Damn it. I hate getting duped.
And we're also brought to you by Ballsack Sports.
You can tell Eddie's back.
Eddie, did you get the choking sound from Boomer? Did you? Yeah. Well, I was waiting for you to use that in your own genius way, but that was one hell of a day. We were talking about CeeLo's pus tail sack, whatever that thing was, pionidal sack.
Yes.
And how somebody called up and said there was bones in his daughter's pionidal pus sack. And then that's what happened there. Totally natural sound. Totally natural sound for Boomer.
Thank God I wasn't eating real food and I was drinking a smoothie.
Yeah, that's right, because you would have choked live on CBS Sports Network.
Yeah.
Hey, Stephen Waldron, if Boomer started choking on food and then I had to get up or I started choking and we had to do the Heimlich on one another, would you guys cut to commercial at that point or would you let it play out with the chance of one of us dying live on TV?
We prefer you not to die on the air, so we cut away from it.
You would?
I think what you got to do, but they keep the camera running, and then we could actually do an Instagram deal with it or a TikTok deal.
But, like, you're in entertainment. Like, I watched that Jerry Springer documentary, and they all talked about how, like, you know, it's all about the entertainment. You don't think that, you know, about the boost you could get for CBS Sports Network, if one of us choked to death on the air, like that clip would go everywhere and you'd have the little logo on it and everything. I mean, it would be a huge deal for you guys.
Well, if Jerry ran in like a Superman and saved another person's life, that'd be good.
Yeah, because that's another thing. Good point, because you're running the risk, too, of a full saved life on the network if you cut away. Like, Jerry could come in, because Jerry did save somebody with the Heimlich out in the newsroom. If he came in, did the Heimlich on me or you, we spit out that piece of food and... You got you were in the commercial break on CBS Sports Network. We're going to Hims ad or something. You know, you guys missed out on that opportunity.
You, sir, die.
So, yeah, just think about that. If one of us starts choking on food, like, what do I really want to do?
I'm sure they've gone over all of that. You would think that
that you've never had a conversation about if somebody's dying on the air, what do you do? Right, Steven?
No, that doesn't come up too often.
Yeah, well, now it has come up.
Right.
And now you got to think about it if something like that does happen.
Yeah, I'll bring it up at our 11 o'clock meeting this morning.
Die. I mean, if I'm the producer in that situation, I'm keeping it live. I think you have to. Like, it didn't go to break. This is happening.
Keep it going.
I mean, like, they can't do anything about it. They're in a different building, so it's not like they're not helping us intentionally. Like, you know?
They're just watching to see who steps up.
Yeah.
Choke on this, Boomer.
Die.
See? It would be, I think keep the cameras. I know they would keep the cameras rolling. I just don't know whether or not they would do it live.
Yeah, true. Like, I ended up, so when I came in, by the way, we've got our first norovirus instance in our inner circle here.
Uh-oh.
As Allie, our esteemed makeup artist, is out this morning with norovirus.
Oh, she was texting me last night, you know, about my car service and everything. Everything worked out. And she was she sick when she was doing that?
I don't know. The Rosie, the fill-in makeup artist, said she got a call around 11 p.m.
Yeah, so. I got a text about 11:20.
Yeah, so, no, I was texting with her. Oh, I see. She just sent me something this morning. She sent me last night, 8:46. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, well, she's not here, norovirus, and you know how this show has been affected by the norovirus many times. It's something that you get once a year, but somehow you avoided it last year. We all avoided it last year. But we need to keep her home for a number of days.
Yeah, at least 3 days. At least 3 days.
And then I think she's got, like, I don't think I'm going to get makeup the rest of the week when she comes in. That's how much I need to avoid norovirus. Like, I will look like a ghost. I'll look terrible on TV. Just not get that norovirus. And then again, if she gives it to you, then you're going to give it to me, and that'll be the end of it anyway.
Well, she's not going to give it. I mean, like, she needs 3 days. She needs today,
yeah,
tomorrow, and Wednesday. And if she feels up to it, then she comes back to work Thursday. Or just take the whole week. Who cares?
Yeah. Hey, Stephen, one last question. When I came in with norovirus and I threw up in the break into the garbage pail, if that were happening live on the air and we were not in a break, would you have broadcast that, or would you have cut away from me puking?
We would have cut away.
Oh, you would have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, vomiting's gross.
But you did replay that.
I don't think they did.
Did you guys replay that, Stephen?
No.
No, I don't think they ever have.
Or maybe it was just for us.
Oh, really? How come I didn't see it then? I wanted to see it.
I definitely have seen it.
No, that's not fair. You think I'd be upset about that? Like, I want to see that. I definitely want to see that.
Cue it up, Stephen.
Yeah. If you got it, let's see it.
Well, no, we do not have it.
Oh, you're full of it. Crap. I've seen it.
I promise you, we don't have it.
You know, wow. I'd rather not see it, honestly.
I just don't like the fact that, like you'd think, oh, let's not show Gio. Let's be quiet about showing him puke. I'm all in on that. I'd love to see that.
Well, I'm not.
Let's go to Chris and Howell before the break. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. Gio, I wanted to ask you what you thought of the decision to go with the saxophone national anthem in Philly. I thought that was a pretty risky move with that crowd.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I saw it. I don't know who that guy was.
I got to say, that was great. I thought it was great.
He was pretty good. But also, I mean, it is a risky move because if he stinks, I mean, they would kill him on the field. But he was good. And then there was one point I thought he was going to pass out with that one long note
at the end. Yeah.
I thought he was okay.
I thought it was great. How do you not like a great sax player?
Because it was just the national anthem. It was fine. It wasn't like Dizzy Gillespie or Charlie Parker out there.
Jesus.
You know, it was
fine. You guys are rough, man.
It was okay. I mean, you really thought that was great?
Like, I did, Chris. Did you like it?
I thought it was all right. I thought, Boomer, you would be more the traditionalist, like wanting to hear someone singing that more than, you know, saxophone.
You know what? I love the Rangers guy. Love John Amarante before. You know, we settled it on the new guy that we have. But I would just, I don't know. I like a musical rendition of the national anthem, especially when it's done well. And I love the saxophone.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. That's all.
Okay.
I mean, like, if you're going to go saxophone in that situation, you go soprano sax with Kenny G. Don't you bring in Kenny G to do it?
Don't you do him with a clarinet?
It's not a clarinet. It's a soprano sax.
Soprano, is that what that is?
It's a soprano sax.
I'm not a music guy like you are.
Yeah. That would be the move.
I've heard him do the national anthem.
Yeah, you can't get some, like, secondary saxophone.
I thought this guy, I'm telling you, I thought it was good, man. Better than good.
Okay.
I liked it.
All right.
A nice flow to it.
We could agree to disagree.
I thought the guy, by wearing the Eagles jacket, bought himself some time if things started going south. Like, I think the audience would have been like, he is wearing an Eagles jacket. Let's give him a little more time here.
Yeah, maybe.
You didn't like it, or did you like it?
I did end up liking it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Like the caller said, very risky.
It is. It definitely is. I mean, all of it is risky, but, I mean, if you start stinking with that saxophone, all weird sounds are coming out of there, that crowd.
Have you ever heard an electric violin do a national anthem? It's pretty good.
Yitzhak Perlman? Is he still alive? He was the most famous violinist that I could think of right now.
You and these most famous people, man. You just got to get off of that road.
I'm just thinking, if I was going to hire a violin guy, that would be Yitzhak Perlman.
Okay.
If he's still alive. Do we know? I don't even know how to spell Yitzhak. Perlman Violin. He's 79. He's still alive.
Where's he live?
I don't know.
Maybe we can get him in here to play it.
I don't think Yitzhak Perlman's coming in here.
Says he lives in New York City with his wife.
That's what I'm saying. I bet you we can get him in here to play it.
You think, I mean, this guy is, he is the...
He's the man. He's
the preeminent violinist of his generation.
We're their preeminent morning talk show hosts.
He's not going to, you think he's going to come in here and do the national anthem?
Why does somebody out there knows, how do you say his first name?
Yitzhak.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Yitzhak. Somebody out there knows Yitzhak.
Yeah.
I think it's Itchcock.
No, it's Yitzhak. It's not Itchcock. Now he's definitely not coming in.
Did you just... He cracked himself up.
Yeah, there goes our chance at Yitzhak.
Hey. He just totally cracked himself up.
I can see phonetically spelled Itchcock Perlman, and it came up.
Come on. Somebody out there knows this guy.
He's world famous,
listening to us right now, and they're reaching out to him as we speak.
Yeah, right. They said, oh, they're talking about how great you are, and then all of a sudden the producer calls him Itchcock, and now it's over.
But you know how great it would be for a 79-year-old, world's greatest violinist, to come in here and play the national anthem for us?
He would. No,
he's done everything.
It'd
be like the coolest thing ever.
He's done everything.
Ah, you know, he's got grandkids, I'm sure. Hey, I'm going to be a play the national anthem.
Now, he is on tour. I'm looking. He's on. He's okay. Currently on tour.
So we can promote his tour for him.
Yeah.
Where is he?
He's going to be in Arizona Thursday.
Red Rocks?
No, at the Linda Ronstadt
Music Hall. Oh, Red
Rocks,
Colorado, I think.
Then he's going to Colorado. He's going to Denver. Concert hall there. Then he's going to Costa Mesa, California.
There you go.
Mm. So when's that tour done?
It looks like...
It's like the Taylor Swift New Eras tour.
Yeah, he's...
He's still grinding
April,
it out, huh?
May.
Jeez.
He's back here in May.
Wow. Yeah, we'll totally have moved on from this in May.
Or maybe he can come to the kickoff.
Right. Kickoff to summer. EJ's.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hitchcock Perlman.
Somebody's texting him right now, I guarantee you.
There's no way.
Yes.
There's no way.
Has he got a social media presence?
He's
got to have a social media presence.
I hadn't thought about him
He does.
Yeah, if he's still grinding out there, yeah.
How many followers does he have?
On Twitter, he has 44,000 followers.
All right.
He's got to have more on Instagram, I would imagine.
Let's see.
I would make you think he's a Yankee fan?
I saw a photo of him performing at Citi Field in 2016.
Okay, so maybe a Mets fan.
He's a Mets fan.
Yeah.
So look at that. So he played the Star Spangled Banner at Citi Field. Was that the year they had the All-Star game?
Yeah, I guess it might have been. So why don't you see if you can find that, Al? Yeah, we've gone from the saxophone to now...
Yitzhak
Perlman,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there he is. I mean, that guy, he is the guy. I actually saw him perform up in Saratoga.
I have it if you want.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Please remain standing for the playing of our national anthem to be performed this evening by 16-time Grammy Award-winning violinist and New York icon, Yitzhak Perlman.
Yitzhak.
Not Hitchcock.
Coxsackie. How good is this?
It's great.
Let's get him the inauguration.
Let's get him there.
He might be there.
Get him there. Makes a ton of fenth.
Cock strong.
Get him there. Makes a ton of fenth.
Maybe that's where I heard it, actually.
See, that's not risky. If you have Itzhak Perlman doing your national anthem, that's not risky. Random sax guy, risky. It is.
Well, I thought the random sax guy did a great job, if in fact he is a random sax guy.
Well, he's definitely not to the saxophone what Itzhak Perlman is to the violin.
Get a cockatoo.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Charlie Daniels can't still be alive. No, right?
Why not? They could.
I guess maybe.
What was the 70s?
No, he died 2020.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember we were given tickets away, obviously, before that.
I hope so.
You don't know with this company. You know,
that is true. And I remember it's like every day we had to play this song.
Yeah, he made it to 83, Charlie Daniels.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's like Perlman out there grinding 79, still touring.
You know, how about Mick Jagger?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
I heard on 1010 Wins they're giving away tickets to see Barry Manilow.
Ooh, where?
I know.
Down in the subway?
I don't know. And he still sounds good, but you can tell he's gotten older.
He's one of those guys that you either love him or hate him, right? Like people like Barry Manilow. Ugh. They're like, oh, I love Barry Manilow.
Yeah, probably.
Where are you at with that?
I'm kind of in the middle. He's fine. The Copacabana's good.
Barry Manilow. He's got to be in his 80s now.
A lot of Mandy.
81 years old for Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
He's playing at basketball arenas around the country.
Is he really?
Damn.
It's amazing what some bands can sell out and what others can't.
Good for him. Barry Manilow. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. You had mentioned a couple of interesting moments from the BT and Sal show.
Yeah.
So I'll give you one. This one's from Friday. This was BT talking about how he was taking some heat on social media for what he wore when he recorded his interview with Rick Pitino. And I like how he says he doesn't care what people think, but then goes on.
Everybody's a fashion critic.
I think either I know where we're going. Yeah.
They're either,
I noticed it.
Okay, so be honest. Yeah. All right, so they're either a fashion critic or... Oh, you skip leg day. I mean, everybody chimes in with their idiotic, moronic. And by the way, I got news for you. If there weren't dating apps, you'd get nothing. You got no game. All you losers who chime in with this.
Wow. Man, oh, man. Did he take that personally?
I thought that was hilarious.
Whoa.
And then just making sure Sal didn't take it personally, wanted to make sure that he's not one of those losers.
I did get laid. What? He said that on the air.
Well, I didn't record it in the newsroom. Right.
Wow. Man, he really wanted the world to know that.
No. I got to be honest, I don't know what the context is of that, but he said it, which was kind of funny.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. So that was, that was Friday.
I did get laid. All of you wondering.
So that was Friday. On Thursday, Hoffman chimed in. So they do this thing where they open trading cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in one of the packs, there was an autographed card. Wow, an autographed card. And I guess it was by Boomer. So I guess Brayden thought for a moment.
Brayden. My bad.
Brandon, right. I guess he thought it was real for a moment, but then they had to let him know it wasn't so real. And then Hoff called BT
gullible.
For failing to pick up on it. Yes, this is about 30 seconds.
I have to say, there is one gullible person in this room that we can get any time. BT.
Why?
Oh, dude, we play you like a fiddle.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean you
am I supposed to be skeptical when you pull the card?
Yes, I would think most average people in this world would be like, do you guys just pull my chain?
Really?
Yeah.
No, we sold it.
Hey, well, we sell it very, we know how to sell it.
Well, you should be writing scripts for wrestling then. You got your amazing sell job.
Soon we
So that
he did not let that go for like 10 minutes, so he kept going back to it.
It was very funny.
Yeah, no, it was. It's like, nobody's ever called me gullible before in my life.
And right, so then he goes on. It's like,
you
it's a first.
Virgin loser.
No, I did get laid.
So anyhow, so then it would morph into, they have this punishment for who loses the NFL, NFL pick segment.
Yeah.
So the two losers have, for lack of a better term, the two losers have to get dressed up in, as the wrestlers that Sal, who won, had to make make them dress up as. But BT got first choice over which character he was going to dress up as. And this is where Hoff kind of morphs into the WWE punishment, calling him out for being gullible again.
I've never been called gullible. Hmm. That's the first time in my life that I've ever heard
I'll
that.
I'll tell you this much. I want a Papa Shango really bad, and I got him.
That has nothing to do with.
Yeah, I could have played my hand. I'm just telling you.
What like, do you mean? What's this guy?
When he came to me afterwards, asked me who I should be.
Talking about me?
You asked Hoff?
Who I really want a conversation with them?
And you, just Hoff, did you try to sell him on?
I just kept
it.
I wasn't going to play my hand.
So, he looks like he played BT.
He did twice now, and BT did not like that.
What's this guy talking about?
Twice he hit you with that.
Oh, man, very funny.
Man, when he gets going, man, it is fun to listen to. But BT gets...
He gets
like,
heated.
Oh, he definitely does.
Passionate, as they say. last night, the Commanders beat the Bucks 23-20. Zane Gonzalez kicked the game-winning 37-yard field goal as time expired. This was Melissa Stark and Chris Collinsworth, as Jaden Daniels at one point had a cut on his cheek, and they went to Melissa for the report.
The athletic training staff was waiting for him after the touchdown drive on the sideline. They let him give all his high fives and celebrate. Then they sat him down, cleaned it out, put sterile glue on it to close it up, and he's ready to go.
Oh, come on. We wouldn't even show that if it was anybody but a quarterback. But there wouldn't be a cut man on the sideline working on him. It would just be, you look great.
Then go back in there. Not a big deal. Yeah, so that was kind of funny. The Eagles, so you got Washington will play in Detroit on Saturday night. The Eagles beat the Packers 22-10. Jalen Hurts threw for just 131, but did have touchdown passes to Jahan Dotson and Dallas Goedert. Saquon Barkley, a 119 on the ground. He also slid down when he probably could have run for a score, ultimately just ending the game. He was on Fox with Tom Brady afterwards.
I can't break the record now, right? Most important thing is winning games, and it was no my situation. AJ and Smitty kind of gave me crap. Definitely left some on the bone, but at the end of the day, the stat line don't matter. Only stat line that matters is getting dubs and advancing.
And that is it, though. His stat line was pretty damn good.
Oh, so he would have.
Yes. He probably could have gone the distance.
That would have been the completion of my four-leg parlay, by the way, if he had
going
that
true? Yeah. Wow.
I had Jalen Hurts, 25 or more rushing yards. I had the Eagles covering. I had Josh Jacobs scoring a touchdown. I just needed that.
Wow.
He decided to slide into third base. But I get it.
Philadelphia home for the winner of tonight's game between the Vikings and the Rams on Sunday. Also of note, the Bills beating the Broncos 31-7. Saturday night, the Steelers get buried by the Ravens. Also, the Texans beat the Chargers Saturday. This was Rex Ryan prior to this game on ESPN when they had to make their picks of this game.
Rex, the Chargers are a road favorite in Houston. Are the Chargers the better team?
Greeny, I heard somebody say it was a bye week that the Chargers are going to win. You know who that was? That was me.
A bye week, and then Houston goes out and wins, and you wonder what guys hear and don't hear. Here was D'Amico Ryans in the locker room after the game.
Outstanding job by everybody. How was that bye week?
And then you got Joe Mixon on Instagram.
What are we doing, man?
Yeah, we smoking on that Rex Ryan pack, man.
And they're all like staring into the camera, smoking cigars and having a blast at Rex's expense. He did come on and say, "Yeah, I had a bad day. My bad. Would have picked you if you would have played like this."
Well, so, I'll tell you one thing. They got to be careful. They got to go on the road to Kansas City now.
That is true. That's the early game. Well, early 4:30 on Saturday.
Like win with dignity, win with class, move on, and realize that you have a very big task in front of you.
All true. Knicks beat the Bucks 140-106. Tonight, the Knicks are home for the Pistons. The Nets lost to the Jazz in overtime, 112-111. And the Cavaliers' winning streak snapped at 12. They lost to the Pacers, 108-93. Rutgers home for UCLA tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Tonight out in Arizona, this is a huge game for Sam Darnold's future and his wallet. And I know that he's still going to get paid and someone's still going to give him a decent contract. But where he was trending after that Packer game before they played the Lions to where he would be if he ends up having another game like he did against the Lions on Sunday Night Football, it would be a world of difference. Now, he could still possibly go on a run in these playoffs, win this game, go into Philadelphia, play well, which I think is going to be a very, very tough task, as many people would, I'm sure, would agree, and then more money would come his way. But even with the 14-win season, if he ends it with two duds against good football teams that have won their division, there's going to be that skepticism that creeps right back in.
The only thing I can think that may help him, if in fact that is the case, then maybe he does go back to Minnesota on the same deal that he's on right now. You know what I mean? So it's a lesser deal. He likes it there. You know, he's willing to compete with J.J. McCarthy potentially for the starting job. Or, you know, this is why I said I said this 2 weeks ago, that the game against the Packers, which he played well, and they put him on their shoulders in the locker room after the game, celebrating the win. Then last week, the loss at Detroit, where he didn't play well, and he looked like he was the skittish Sam that we saw here. And now comes this game against the Rams. And, you know, lo and behold, it's in a, you know, neutral site in Arizona tonight. He has a chance to recapture or rekindle a little bit of the magic that he's had. Now, if he does that and they're able to do that, the unfortunate thing for them means they now have to go on the road. They would have to go on the road, one of these two teams, to Philadelphia.
Yeah, which I think is a very, very tough spot for them. I've seen playoff losses in there a couple of times. The last one, of course, was the NFC Championship game, where it was Case Keenum against Nick Foles, and Mike Zimmer was the head coach against Doug Peterson, and the Vikings went right down the field in their first possession, and it was 7-0, and ended up losing the game 38-7.
So, I mean, let me ask you a question. If they are capable of winning tonight, and people behind the scenes don't know this, but you've been pretty confident, you feel pretty good about them tonight.
Tonight, yeah, I do.
Right. If they were able to win the game, and the Buccaneers had won their game yesterday, meaning the Bucs would have gone to Philly and your team would have gone to Detroit, there's no easy path for them.
I would have preferred them to go to Detroit because just the familiarity, tough to beat a team three times. I felt like they were right there with them in that second game. And if Sam could play well and have another opportunity, that's all you want as a competitor after you play a game like that, is to have another shot at that same team in that same situation. And I just like their odds better inside than I would outdoors in Philadelphia with just the craziness that is there. It's just they're not a team built for that. And I'm not saying that they'd be totally incapable. It just would be. It would be shocking to me if they went in there.
Here's the thing I would worry about tonight for your team. Yeah, of course, one would be Sam bouncing back and having a good game. Number two would be your run defense. Your run defense wasn't good last week against Detroit. It's just not great. And the Rams, you know, they're a good, solid running team. They've become more physical as the season has worn on here because they have been running the ball more. And Kyron Williams is pretty damn good.
Sure.
And then, of course, you got the Howards are throwing Matthew Stafford back there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff going on. I saw articles and Al had on the show sheet of how Matthew Stafford's kids, I guess Kelly Stafford, had posted Instagram stories about them in the hospital with potentially the flu. And then they got out of the hospital and then they ended up going to Arizona. I mean, listen, everybody could do whatever they want with their Instagram accounts. I couldn't imagine posting as a public figure, posting a picture of my kids in a hospital bed for everybody. I found that very off-putting personally, but I hope they're okay. And I hope that Matthew Stafford and Kelly Stafford and everybody's healthy, because you don't want to see anybody, even an opponent, go into a game sick.
Well, Kelly has the whole social media thing down. You know, she's very active on that. So whether you like it or not, that's just the way she is. But it's got to be a very heavy burden for a lot of those players, just like it was for the Charger players.
Sure. Yep, because of the fires, for sure. And I do think Sam is going to play well. I think that the Vikings will win this game. I'm actually positive about it. I mean, if they lost, I wouldn't be completely floored. I mean, they're obviously capable of losing this game. It would be a real disappointing loss, though, to have a 14-3 season be as good as they were and then to lose home field advantage and go out in wild card weekend would just be just it would feel like everything that happened prior to that was all.
Well, they've already played once, and it's pupil and tutor, if you will, with O'Connell and McVay. So this is going to be interesting, and hopefully, it should be a competitive game. It should be a four quarter game. Like
I agree.
Last night was.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Should be.
I mean, it's the best. I mean, on paper, it's the best game of the week. If you ask me, but
competitive, you mean like?
Yeah. Like teams are even. And I felt like last night what we saw was, two quarterbacks that, could give you everything they had and put up a lot of spectacular plays, or there are going to be some wild, crazy plays, which is unfortunately what happened to Baker Mayfield. But it was amazing to me that Tampa only had 44 offensive plays in this game last night. And going into the game, Dan Quinn was told Chris Collinsworth, if we're going to win this game, we got to keep them from possessing the ball, because when it comes to possessing the ball, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are one of the best teams in the league offensively that does that.